When someone is hurt in a truck accident, the one question everyone has is, why did this terrible collision happen? To answer that question takes an experienced team of lawyers and experts. Not everyone has this type of experience. At Colombo Law, we are truck injury lawyers. It's what we do every day. When someone is hurt by a truck, Colombo Law is the law firm people call to get answers. Hurt by a truck? Call Colombo Law.
This Jocks 94.5 podcast is brought to you by Millennium Satellite and Video. Log on to msvnow.com. TV excellence everywhere. That's Millennium.
Three Man Front. Oh, it's a spooky day.
Is it?
I heard Landrum Roberts talking about it this morning.
Well, superstitions are real, Pat. It's Friday the 13th. We only get this 200 and on average every 212 days, we get a Friday the 13th.
It's like two or three times a year, right?
Yeah, whenever the first of the month is a Sunday.
Yeah.
So it's fairly often.
Right. But no, I just started thinking about superstitions. I had Greg McElroy from McElroy and Kubelik.
Who?
You know, he was number 12. Played.
The guy that sits in my seat?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Tom Brady. Yeah. Oh.
Yes, the guy who sits in your seat. That would be GM 12, not TV 12. But no, he had superstitions, and I was just wondering how many of our listeners actually had superstitions. I know we're not supposed to have superstitions, but I do. And three times there's a black cat that lives around my house, and three times I've had to alter my route coming in the morning, about 5 a.m. Not far, but because the cat passed the across the path that I was intending to go. It's a real thing.
See, I was taught very early on when that happens to
run over the cat.
Well, no, to bypass that. If you were to draw a cross on your windshield, that will X out any kind of bad juju with the black cat.
Just Xing out, or just or no, is it just, a cross?
No, you do a cross like a crucifix.
Okay.
On your window.
Okay. Do you have any superstition? Do you ever knock on wood?
I do not, but I do the cross on the windshield.
You do that?
Absolutely.
What about you, John?
He's into baseball. Of course he has superstition.
Wade Boggs is like the ringleader of all the superstitions
when
time.
When I played baseball, I had a million of them. But like just in my everyday life, the only one that I probably still have is the black cat.
What about you, John?
Everyday life? Probably not. Now, if I'm, I don't know, at the roulette wheel, and the number hits, and maybe I checked my phone right before.
Right.
I'm checking my phone until I no longer hit. Or if I do something, maybe sometimes I'll close my eyes and, you know, take a couple deep breaths. And then if it hits, well, I've got to do that.
Okay.
So, but then every day, like, walk around, like, I don't have to walk in the studio and, like, dap up Damien a certain way. And I don't have to do all that, generally.
No. We used to all work with somebody. Me and John did. That had numerous superstitions before, during, and after a radio show.
Oh.
Yeah.
Is he still on the radio?
I believe he is.
Okay. So it's not, we're not talking about Paul here then.
Is Paul still on the radio?
You work with Paul.
Paul does strike me as someone who would be superstitious. I don't know. You're not answering now, so.
Jelly Walker's coming back to UAB. That's the big story that came out yesterday afternoon. He's the reigning Conference USA Player of the Year, CUSA Tournament MVP. Walker ranked third nationally in total three-pointers made, eighth in three-pointers made per game, 14th in total points. You get the idea. This is huge. We told you on this show a few weeks ago, indications where he was coming back. And so he made it official yesterday with a video that the UAB Blazer basketball team also put out on their social media. So he's coming back with Walker, Jemison, Levin, Buffin all returning. You've got five other guys from the transfer portal, including Eric Gaines from LSU, Javian Davis from Mississippi State, Ladarius and Ty Brewer from ETSU, Taylor Bertram from Binghamton. The Blazers will also add in-state recruit Ephraim Buddha Johnson from the Huntsville area. So I hate to put a lot of pressure on my former classmate, Andy Kennedy, but Andy, you better win it and you better make some noise in the NCAA tournament.
Don't screw this up is what you're saying.
This is unbelievable.
This is Alabama-like expectations in college football.
I mean, this is not, okay, we're going to get to the tournament. We're going to get to the tournament and we're going to make some noise type roster.
Right. This is...
I'm not calling for Elite Eight Final Four. I'm just saying...
You're not going to put that on them yet like you did the Auburn Tigers?
Well, you know.
5 weeks prior to the end of the season? It's a Final Four bust?
I mean, they were number one at a point.
That's fair. It's fair.
It should be the expectation.
Right.
They're going to have the number one player probably drafted in the NBA draft. You got another one that will be a top 20 draft pick, and you can't get to the Final Four?
I was told that Eric Gaines, the transfer who you mentioned... Jelly Walker coming back and those two playing together, that was one of the main reasons that,
I mean, that
Gaines chose UAB to be able to play with a guy like Jelly.
Man, it's just going to be unbelievable to watch those guys. And so barring injury, so much can happen.
But no pressure, AK.
But having Jelly come back, we all thought he was going to come back.
Right.
Based on all the NBA input and models you saw with mock drafts.
Well, now that they've changed everything, Pat, it's allowed for the prospective NBA player to go and, you know, maybe play against some better competition, kind of test the waters, talk to folks, get some feedback. And, I mean, we're seeing it. Jonai Broom, he is withdrawn from the NBA draft. We thought the 6'10 kid, the transfer from Moorhead going to Auburn, that, you know, he would probably be on that roster, but I think it's great in allowing those guys to do it. I wish that we had something that we could do as far as the NFL draft, where if a guy goes undrafted and instead of signing a free agent contract, he was allowed to come back. Now, with every other thing that we have with the transfer portal, NIL, and all of that, I don't know if they want to muddy the waters anymore. Seems like they got plenty on their hands, but wouldn't you like to see something like that in the NFL?
Sure. It'd be fantastic if you're able to at least get a little bit of taste of what you potentially could go do or go up against guys that you're going to have to try to find a job for. So,
or maybe in the Major League Baseball draft, I mean, you get drafted and that's a gamble that some of those teams have to take. Is the kid going to go ahead and sign with a college that he's committed to out of high school, or is he going to sign with us? Not the NFL, because of the lack of the number of rounds and how many players can be drafted in Major League, that would ever fly. But let's just say this. If you don't get drafted, just only if you don't get drafted, not, hey, I don't want to get drafted, you know, six round. No, you've committed. You're gone. But I don't know. There's a lot of dudes that could come back and probably boost their draft perspectives for the next season.
Well, and the NBA draft is so different too, because you don't have seven rounds like you do in the NFL.
Right.
So it's very limited on the number of guys that's going to get opportunities. And then you might get an opportunity in the G League or play for like the Birmingham Squadron or somebody like that. So that's big news for UAB basketball as he is coming back. Bad news for Alabama softball yesterday. They lost to Missouri 3-0. Ty, they're now 41-11. They're going to have to wait around to see where they're going to go when the NCAA tournament matchups are listed. Montana Fouts, she pitched all seven innings yesterday, allowed 119 pitches with one of the three runs earned. So kind of some sloppy play behind Fouts. She had five strikeouts, one intentional walk. She allowed five total hits. So Alabama now, first time since 99, that they got knocked out in the SEC tournament with their first game.
Yeah, and that's a compliment to Coach Murphy and what he's done with that program. But how about Missouri? This is a team that now five of their six SEC tournament wins have been shutouts. And a team that faced Alabama just last weekend, and the Tide took 2 of 3 from Missouri. And this Missouri program, just a few years ago, they were kind of a blip on the radar when it came to SEC softball. And now you just look at the power of the conference, with Vanderbilt being the exception and not having a softball team, but just how good the SEC is for the most part, top to bottom.
Yeah, it's good to see Mizzou good at something in the conference, because
swimming and diving, I think
a lot of stuff that they have brought to the table in the conference, let's just be honest, not been very good. So,
well, they've more achievements, I would say, than Texas A&M. At least they've gotten to SEC championship games.
Yeah.
We'll give Pinkel and the boys that, right?
That's true.
Right.
They got embarrassed, but yeah, they got there.
And it could be getting better based on some of the news coming out of the state of Missouri, Pat.
Yeah, it's so interesting, because now all of a sudden, after Monday's announcement by the NCAA, it appears that some states are starting to take hold of these NIL situations. How about this? Missouri legislature, they have passed an amendment that is going to allow colleges and coaches to assist with NIL deals. Lawmakers have amended a state law to give college coaches and university employees a more active role in the endorsement opportunities their athletes now have for their name, image, and likeness. The amendment was introduced on the House floor on Thursday in the state of Missouri, then passed through both chambers in Jefferson City. It now awaits the governor of Missouri to sign this into law. Last summer, the state legislature passed a bipartisan bill similar to other versions around the country that allow college athletes to profit off their name, image, and likeness in the form of paid endorsements with third-party companies. Those are those collectives that we also talk about. But then on Thursday, it was introduced an amendment to the law that would allow coaches and school officials to become participants in the process, similar to a recent Tennessee amendment signed into law earlier this spring. So it's allowed in the state of Tennessee. Apparently, the state of Louisiana's got something on the books that they're currently discussing as well. So as this continues to change, you know, Alabama repealed its law. It changed what its original NIL said when it came out last year. You just wonder now if other states, especially in the Southeastern Conference footprint, Landrum, are going to go the route of Tennessee, now Missouri, and potentially Louisiana, to allow coaches. They can work out NIL deals. They cannot profit off of that in regards to you can't get a commission off of it. So if you're a coach and you know somebody that has a business and they want Landrum Roberts to be the spokesperson, you can't give me a commission because I pointed you in that right way.
Well, what this tells me is that they've already gotten feedback that this has been going on these campuses, and now they want to make sure that these coaches and these schools, they're covered. It does make it a little bit, a little creepy when you start thinking about, or potentially what it could mean for coaches who are recruiting certain kids and they're on the recruiting trail, and those coaches, we know, I know for a fact, they have really good relationships with some boosters. Really good, the assistants do. When they go to a certain town and they're recruiting a certain area, said booster takes them out to a nice dinner. They go and maybe have a couple of cocktails, hang out for a little while. They talk a lot. Make that what you want to, and you can read between the lines. But now, when coaches are able to, and I know officially with the NCAA, you can't, you know, entice someone to come for NIL, right? They have to come to the school because they love the school, they love the opportunity, whatever. And then they can try to. This is just going to add to it, Pat. But are you worried about the NCAA and the rules there, or are you worried about going to federal prison?
Well, here's the thing. Is the NCAA ready? Because they've got a pretty rotten track record lately when they go into courtrooms. Are you really going to go after somebody, let's say the University of Missouri, when they've got something that's on the books, a state law?
Right.
That says that you are allowed to do that?
Mm-hmm. I don't think they want any part of this. This is just another headache for the NCAA. I'm interested to see what their response is going to be to this. But, yeah, when you talk about their track record lately, this is like Aaron Rodgers versus the 49ers.
Yeah, not very good at all.
It's a goose egg.
So before this law went into effect yesterday, coaches were prohibited from interacting with NIL third-party entities or booster-led companies known commonly as NIL collectives. So now you're allowed to do that, but there are restrictions under the proposed amendment. Any university employee engaged in an athlete's NIL business may not serve as the athlete's agent or receive compensation, or as we were talking about, a commission.
Well, he's going to receive compensation from someone else.
From W's.
Well, yeah, from that and from his buddy, the booster. You don't think he's going to hold a little back for coach? Who landed prize recruit? Of course he is. Nothing's changed. It's just more ways to get around it. I would not be surprised at all, because we've seen Alabama repeal what originally came out concerning NIL and boosters who were caught using NIL or money to lure a certain kid to a certain school. Now it's not a felony in the state of Alabama as of March, I believe. So I expect other states, like the state of Alabama, to probably follow suit.
Yeah, Tennessee's already got something on the books. Mizzou did it yesterday. Louisiana is in conversations now about changing. I think Louisiana's changed theirs like three or four times already.
Isn't it amazing when it comes to anything dealing with college football in the state, how quickly our lawmakers can come together?
Another reason why don't we have sports books in Alabama?
That's a great question, Pat.
It's crazy.
Yeah, but when it comes to recruiting and everything else, they can call an emergency session and get that thing passed, and everybody agrees. 100%.
Meanwhile, you know, state lotteries.
No,
every state that touches the state of Alabama has some form of lottery,
yep,
or some type of sports gaming. But in the state of Alabama, we got nothing.
Mm-mm. No, just let it sit there. Put it on the shelf. Table that for next year. We'll come back to it. Let's see what happens there. Let's just kick the can down the road.
So here's a name from the past. Former Auburn OC, former Arkansas head coach, Chad Morris. He has resigned his position in Texas as the head football coach of Allen High School in Allen, Texas.
Okay.
He says that he is, or has an opportunity to get back into college coaching. So he is stepping down. No word yet where he's going to be a college coach, but he announced his departure this morning.
Based on the timeliness of this, I would think maybe it would be at the FCS level. I mean, sure, it could be an assistant at the FBS level, but I'm thinking maybe, I don't know, 1AA, Division II. Can you see him doing that?
I don't know, man. He's pretty damaged goods, if you ask me, in regards to his X's and O's. I mean, I don't think he was very good at Auburn. He definitely wasn't any good at Arkansas.
He's pretty good at Clemson.
But he was good in Allen, Texas. He went 11-3.
Okay.
As the coach of the Allen Eagles.
You think he and Gus are still buddies?
Probably.
Okay. Well, maybe.
Maybe he's going there.
Yeah, maybe. Gus has got plans for him.
I mean, he got the Allen Eagles to the state quarterfinals in the state of Texas.
And Allen has not traditionally been a, what, football-rich program?
I do not know the history of the Allen Independent School District Eagles.
I'll look it up. Do they play in a 30,000-seat stadium?
Probably.
Like everybody else out there?
I think everybody in the state of Texas does that.
That's
pretty amazing.
You talk about money. Woo! Some of those stadiums they have out there and facilities, it's crazy.
So, yeah, so Chad Morris, be interesting to see where he lands, but announces his departure as he says he has an opportunity to return to college football.
Okay, well, good luck.
Good luck with that and whoever wants to hire him. So yesterday afternoon, we're all getting ready for the NFL schedule release last night. Some disturbing news coming out of Denver, Colorado. The state of Colorado, Broncos wide receiver Jerry Jeudy, he was arrested in Colorado. And so when it first comes across the wire, that's when everyone starts going crazy. There's been some really bad news over the last few years in regards to things that have happened to Alabama, former Alabama wide receivers.
Yep.
And so when you see Jerry Jeudy's name pop up, you're going, oh, goodness, let's see what's going on here. Deputies booked Jeudy into jail for investigation of second-degree criminal tampering with a domestic violence enhancer. While the charge is a misdemeanor, the former Alabama standout is on a no-bond hold. Jeudy will need to appear before a judge before he can be released. My understanding is he's meeting with a judge in about 10 minutes from now.
Okay.
So once he meets with the judge, I guess he will rule whether he can be bonded out. But the Arapahoe County Sheriff said in a news briefing that no physical contact was made in the dispute between Jeudy and the mother of his one-month-old daughter. The sheriff said Jeudy prevented the woman from retrieving several items, including the woman's wallet, medical information for the child, and a car seat. So, again, once you saw the headline, you started thinking the worst, right?
Well, yeah.
And I'm not saying that this is a
arrested in domestic violence
or a bad situation.
Right.
But once you read the entire story and there was no physical contact based on the reporting out of Colorado.
Locking her out of the house so she could not retrieve a car seat, her keys, and, you know, I don't know, it had to do with their 1-year-old daughter. I mean, he didn't want them to leave. So, and it's also noted there in the story. No, she was very adamant about she didn't want him to get in trouble. She didn't want to see anything happen. Is this a sheriff, a headline grab for a sheriff?
You know, I don't know, because everything I read from the sheriff in the report, it sounded like he was kind of tamping down the charges a little bit. I don't know. Maybe it was a situation where
he doesn't have a choice.
His name pops up on a blotter somewhere. Hey, he got arrested, and then TMZ and everybody else starts running with it. So we'll see what exactly happens with Jerry Jeudy. But another Alabama wide receiver.
Yeah.
Having their name plastered all over bottom lines on television screens everywhere. Not a good look. Meanwhile, the NFL schedule release did come out last night. It took 14 weeks to produce the NFL schedule. Over 120,000 NFL schedules were generated during the process before they came up with the one that they went with last night. There were 300 to 400 schedules that were seriously given consideration before last night. So it went from 120,000 down to 300 to 400, and then they decided on the one last night. And just like we've talked about on this show, the AFC West is going to be a monster of a division. And the NFL schedule makers have decided that, you know what? That is the division that you need to watch this year, because 19 games are in prime time from the AFC West. That is the second most of any single division in NFL history. So the AFC West is going to get some plenty of eyeballs opportunity in this upcoming NFL season.
Yeah, and it's going to be interesting. I think that it does amaze me how much interest there is when the NFL does drop their schedule. I know that here in the college football-centric region that we live in, NFL is, to a lot of us, it's second tier. But, man, with the releases we saw, and from Pete Carroll and the Seahawks putting out the fake schedule to their players and having some fun, to others, and I know we're going to talk about it, like the Los Angeles Chargers and what they did, I thought was brilliant, and just another way to make it interesting. So if you didn't look through all of that, can you imagine, though, Pat, being one of those people tasked with going through the 120,000 different scheduling?
And here's the thing. They can't start working on the schedule, so because so many people are like, well, why does it take so long? I mean, why don't they work on next year's schedule now? Well, they can't, because a lot of the schedule is based on division standings, depending on television partners. There's going to be new television contracts that go into effect next year. So it's something that there's only a limited number of time that you can work on it. So that's why it took 14 weeks to work on the current schedule. So, but finally, they got it done last night. And based on some of the quotes that I read from the NFL home office, they said that it appears, because you can't make everybody happy.
Right.
I mean, folks are going to be upset one way or another. But apparently, there was not as much, I guess, negative feedback from teams this year for whatever reason.
Okay.
As they have in the past. So they conclude that that was a very good year for them in regards to making the schedule.
I'm just thinking about all the different possible formats we could see with the SEC and scheduling and pods, and how that gets confusing with seven different formats, and who's going to be in whose region or pod or whatever they end up calling it, or division, or, and then just thinking about going through all of those and trying to make everybody happy.
I was watching an interview with some of the folks that put this schedule together, and they said one of the strangest things that they had to deal with, not really strange, but it was just one of the quirky things, is the fact that with the AFC West being that division this year, that a lot of people are going to spend time watching, and most of their games don't start till the 3 o'clock window, because you can't have them at 12 noon playing a 10 o'clock game on the West Coast.
Right.
So that took a lot of maneuvering and finagling to try to make sure that those teams were put in the right position for prime time. So that's why you see them having 19 primetime games this year.
Okay. And going back to Allen High School, I'll give you an update. We've now been educated by a listener on Allen High School and their proud tradition, which we apparently should have known coming
up.
No,
don't say we, because I admit it. I knew nothing, but you said that they weren't any good.
No, I said, are they not any good? I mean, was that big for them to get to the quarterfinals? I didn't know. I was just saying, I don't know. Do they? Well, we know now, apparently. We're going to fact check it. Craft beer isn't just what we pour at a perfect 29 degrees. It's our passion, one we're proud to celebrate during American Craft Beer Week. Get into Twin Peaks and try your favorite craft beer. Your local lodge this week for American Craft Beer Week. Twin Peaks, never settle.
When we come back, we're gonna talk about this Allen High School, this Texas situation with Chad Morris. And also a little bit later on this hour, Shea Patterson, who is the quarterback for the Michigan Panthers of the USFL, former quarterback at Ole Miss and also the University of Michigan, he will join us on the program, as well as Barrett Salee, full Friday edition of Three Man Front coming at you.
This is Three Man Front.
Jocks 94.5, Three Man Front. Pat Smith, Landrum Roberts, John Saber, Conrad Van Order with you on this Friday, the 13th. The Atlanta Braves start an important series this weekend. You can hear it right here on Jocks 94.5 against the San Diego Padres. 6:20 will be the first pitch. Yu Darvish takes on Max Fried tonight as the Braves host the Padres. The Sanford baseball team, they're going to take on Auburn University in the inaugural spring swing on May 17th at the Hoover Met. Gates will open at 5 p.m. The first pitch is at 6 p.m. Tickets are only $15. They're now available at reserve.imclutch.com/Sanford Swing. That's reserve.imclutch.com/Sanford Swing. Sanford takes on Auburn Tuesday night at the Hoover Met.
All right, by the way, one of our, we were talking about Chad Morris stepping down from Allen High School there in North Dallas. And Dr. Necessary Evil lets us know on Twitter that Allen High School has 5 state titles in their short history, including 3 in a row with Kyler Murray at quarterback. Greg Little and several other players played there. He also adds that Texas A&M will beat Bama again, Landrum, and I will laugh. Hashtag BTHO, beat the hell out of
yeah,
Bama.
Yeah, Landrum.
Yeah. No, I'm sorry. I'm not.
Well, it's because you hate Jimbo Fisher.
Not brushed up. And then I did. I said, do they have a huge stadium like it seems like every other school in Texas? Yes. And I'm looking at the stadium, and it's impressive. $65 million stadium that they have there. And talking to Greg McElroy in the hallway, apparently they have the largest band in the state of Texas for high schools.
How many members?
600.
Wow.
But I'll have to fact check that. Make sure that that's okay, but yeah.
I think in the state of Alabama, at one time, did not Homewood have the largest band?
And they still got a big one. Boy, you get behind that caravan.
What did Hoover have when you were in high school, John? You remember?
Well, it was before Spain Park split, okay. So we had quite a bit. Yeah, we had a good number.
I think Hewitt's right around 400, maybe? 350 to 400, something like that.
I want to say Hoover's around 3-something, just because I know when Spain Park split, most of them, not most, but a good number went there. But I know Spain Park's not nearly as big as it used to be. I want to say they may be like 270, 200, 250 maybe.
Okay.
Whereas Hoover's probably 350.
What is the, I guess, the capacity of that stadium? Because he said that it would be better than some SEC schools.
Let's see. Allen High School football stadium capacity is 18,000.
Okay.
Which that looked like it was bigger.
So 3 athletics games, all right?
And it says that their record attendance, though, was against Greg's High School, Southlake, at 21,766.
Oh, so the fire marshal took the night off?
Like, apparently, went out of town. Yes. They had the standing room only general admission. Tickets are brought in, the temporaries. But yeah, 18,000. Beautiful stadium.
So, and no, there's no question. It is an absolutely gorgeous stadium, without doubt. But his statement that it would be better than any, I'm sorry, it might be better than Vanderbilt.
Maybe that's the kind of stadium Vanderbilt needs here on campus. 18,000?
A little bit more than 18,000, because when you get opposing schools like Georgia coming to town, or Florida, or even Alabama, you're going to have 18,000 that would show up just from that particular school that's visiting.
Right. Well, this is very true. Hey, coming up in August, really excited to announce that country music star Cody Jinks with special guest Clint Black is coming to the Oak Mountain Amphitheater. That's Friday, August 12th. And we got a pair of tickets that we're going to be giving away. He's going to be performing cuts like I'm Not the Devil and Lifers live there at Oak Mountain Amphitheater. You got tickets going on sale coming up today at noon. But right now, you can win your tickets before you can buy them by listening right here. We're going to have some trivia. So I think that in honor of
Friday the 13th,
I think that we do some superstition trivia. Are you okay with this?
Sure.
All right, we can get it. I don't know, John, can we get some, maybe some music going with superstition trivia? I know you were just playing Stevie Wonder. By the way, Stevie Wonder, superstition. 72 years old today. Born on May the 13th.
How about that?
Isn't that crazy? It's kind of wild to think about. 800-239-WJOX. If you can answer superstition trivia
correctly. I mean, you've had really
correctly.
Bad luck in history by coming up with these questions. I hope you do a better job with this one.
What do you mean? I don't make them as hard as you do. Remember the day that you thought that you're like, oh, that's too easy? And I pulled a song.
I didn't even know the song. It was a Garth Brooks song. I just pulled some random song I'd never heard of before. And I just said, okay, go with that line. And by golly, someone called in and said that.
That was wild.
He didn't really know anything. His wife loved it. And then he knew the exact lyrics.
Okay. Well, would you like to come up with?
No, this is your idea.
Okay. All right. 800-239-WJOX. 834-9450. As I'm pulling up the questions now. So just give me one moment. If you want to go see Cody Jinks and Clinton Black coming up, the Oak Mountain Amphitheater.
We're not doing who Clint Black's wife is. I know you didn't know that the other day.
No.
But we've already mentioned that on the show. So that will not be one of the questions.
That will not be one of the questions. All right. So 800-239-WJOX, 834-9450. And you can win a pair of tickets if you answer a trivia question correctly. Let's go to, I can't even see the phone line right now. John, can you help me with the phone?
Bill in Clinton joins us on Three Man Front.
Thank you. Bill, how are you?
War Eagle, good morning.
Good morning. Are you pretty good with your superstition trivia?
I don't know. Let's find out.
Well, can I ask you first, are you superstitious?
On certain things, yes, sir.
Okay, give us the top thing that you're the most superstitious about.
I hand you an open pocket knife. Do not close it and hand it back to me.
Yep. That's a good one right there.
That's one that my dad to this day is still superstitious about. Yep. I'm with you.
All right. Here's your question. I mean, is this probably too easy?
I can't read that far. Are you kidding me?
Okay. All right. Where did the superstition of Friday the 13th? Now, there are several opinions on this, right?
Okay.
I'm trying to give Bill a chance here.
Okay.
Let's ask him this one. Okay. With multiple answers. Yeah. All right.
Where did Friday the 13th, or the number 13, where did some of the, I guess, bad luck connotations come from?
I have no idea.
Okay.
I could tell you.
Biblical times would have been one of them. The 12 okay. disciples. Judas was considered the 13th guest there at the Last Supper.
I know that, Lord.
Wasn't there some Norse mythology as well? Something about Loki?
Yeah, it's in there. That's why there's going to be multiple answers he could have gone with there, but he said he didn't have any idea.
And also I think in Italy, May 17th is bad luck for some reason. And it has something to do with Roman numerals. But hey, thank you for listening in, Clanton. Thank
you. We appreciate you.
Sorry, Landrum's not very good at getting questions.
Sorry. Okay.
Do you have another one? Are you ready to go for another one?
Yes. Let's go. Hello. Cannot see your name on the screen, but welcome into Three Man Front. Who is this?
This is David.
Hey, David. All right. Let's go with breaking one of these. We'll give you 7 years bad luck.
A mirror.
That is correct. Thank you. I just had to make it easier for you, Pat. You're going to go see Cody Jinks live in concert. August the 12th at the Oak Mountain Amphitheater with Clint Black. You didn't like my last one.
We got a winner, John. I know you were busy. Did you hear the question he asked?
Oh, no. Was it extremely difficult like the other one?
No. No, go ahead. Tell John what
I'm breaking one of these. We'll bring you 7 years bad luck.
Did you hate the previous caller?
That was my thought. Like, what are you doing? You give the guy, you expect him to know Norse mythology and all this other kind of stuff.
I thought that was common knowledge.
That's why there's so many answers. That's why it's common knowledge. Oh, okay. Makes sense. 18 different possibilities.
What common house item can you not walk underneath and it's considered bad luck? Do not open up one of these in your house. It's considered bad luck.
What do you throw over your shoulder to counter bad luck?
Well, if you want to keep rolling, we forgot to do this yesterday, so you've got one more technically to give away.
Oh! All right, we got to keep rolling with your wonderful trivia questions.
If you hate the next caller, if you really want to ruin their day.
Oh, gosh. I guess so.
Since it's Stevie Wonder's birthday, you want to do something with Stevie Wonder? I'm just kidding.
Now you've got me.
Now you're gun shy.
Yeah.
Come on. I have faith in you. You're going to rebound.
Don't have faith in me here.
Come on.
All right. 800-239-WJOX.
So we've got another pair of tickets to give away.
We do. Okay. Trying to find one here. All right. Here we go. Let's go to this caller. Hello, you're on the air. Who is this?
Brent.
All right.
Go ahead, Landrum. This is the part where you're supposed to ask the question.
Okay. To cut bread in an uneven manner is a sign. Okay. Let's just move on to another question.
Oh, my gosh.
Y'all were not prepared.
No, don't say we. That would be Landrum. Do not lump me and John into this.
Did we get a winner? Sorry, I was getting
no. The no, he just he asked a question, and then he admitted after he asked the question. Now, let me do another one.
All right, what is unlucky to give a friend unless something is received in exchange?
A radio segment involving trivia. Oh,
yes.
Wait, what?
This is true. What is unlucky to give a friend unless something is received in exchange?
Advice.
Oh, sorry. Appreciate the answer. 800-239-WJOX, 834-9450.
When we come back, those that are calling now, we will get, I promise, we will get to you with...
Kind of have to after this.
Yes. We've got Shea Patterson coming on the program momentarily. This is Three Man Front on a Friday, the 13th edition on Jocks 94.5.
This is Three Man Front.
1046, Jocks 94.5. This is Three Man Front. Pat Smith, Landrum Roberts, John Saber, Conrad Van Order with you on this Friday the 13th. Braves tonight, 6:20. They start a weekend series against the San Diego Padres right here on Jocks 94.5. Alabama Professional Services knows your home is the center of your life. It's where your family lives and plays and they love. Alabama Professional Services knows that a happy home builds happy families. That's why every APS tech formulates a plan that's right for your home and your family. From products that are human and pet friendly to a monthly or quarterly treatment schedule, let APS help you. They ensure the inside and outside of your home is safe and free of pests. AlabamaProfessional.com is the website, 205-951-9717. That's 951-9717. Alabama Professional Services, protection for your home.
All right, the longest span of trivia that has ever been asked on this station as we continue that for the Cody Jinx and Clint Black tickets there at the Oak Mountain Amphitheater. Tickets go on sale at noon, but you can win a pair right now. 800-239-WJOX, 834-9450. I will attempt to, this time successfully, ask a superstition question, superstition trivia, and if you can answer it correctly, you're going to win those tickets. 800-239-WJOX, 834-9450. Let's go to Courtney in Trustville. Courtney, welcome into Three Man Front.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey, Courtney.
Are you familiar with Pat Smith and his work out there with the Husky Faust Network? This is not a trivia question. Just wondering. All right.
Yes, I am. When they asked me the question, I'm actually in Trustful, but I'm actually living in Alabaster, so I'm a Thompson Warrior.
Okay.
All righty.
Very, very interesting. Very good program.
Yes. All right.
Yes, sir.
We're gonna go true or false. All right.
Okay.
So you got a 50% chance.
Trying to help. True or false? Michael Jordan used to wear his North Carolina basketball shorts underneath his Bulls uniform because he was superstitious and he thought it brought him good luck. True or false?
That is actually true.
Very good. Courtney is a winner. He knows his Michael Jordan trivia. Hang on, Courtney.
Yes, sir.
All right. Congratulations.
Please spend as much money as possible while you're in Trustful.
Go Warriors.
Courtney wins, John.
Sorry, Courtney. Oh, Courtney
okay.
does win.
Okay, cool.
He's going to go see Cody Jinks, special guest, Clint Black, Friday, August the 12th, there at Oak Mountain Amphitheater. Tickets are going on sale coming up at noon. That's going to be a fun concert. I told you I was anxious to go and see it. So appreciate your patience,
yeah,
everyone.
You've been listening to him.
I have.
On your phone.
Mm-hmm. Good stuff. He's independent.
Got some Jerry Judy news for you. As I told you about 45 minutes ago, he was set to meet in front of the judge. He has been released on bond after appearing in Arapahoe County Court. Judge asserted no violence committed in the case. Lawyer Harvey Steinberg for Jerry Judy, he told reporters, quoting now, "I don't think he should have been arrested. I don't think he should have been incarcerated," end of quote.
Yeah, I don't know. If he's saying that, just reading the description of the report, I don't think so either. But it's a headline. It's going to get attention, especially when you have arrested and domestic violence that is there in the headline.
Especially in the NFL.
No doubt. Well,
so his I wonder if his attorney is setting up for a wrongful arrest or some type of lawsuit against the sheriff's department.
I don't know. I mean, how much is this going to harm the reputation once somebody clicks on the story of Jerry Judy, right? When you look at that, but it was misleading, and when I saw it, I said, "Oh gosh." No, please tell me this isn't. And then when I started reading it, while, yeah, it was a misdemeanor, and apparently, according to one of the reports, actually was trying to get his phone back. Now, these are all, just allegations that are out there, but I guess that's good news for Jerry Judy and the Broncos, which we got the schedules yesterday. And I thought it was pretty funny with the anime that we got from the Chargers.
It was very well done. If you have not seen it, what the Los Angeles Chargers did was fantastic. I mean, they took shots at everyone. But to me, there were two really good ones,
yes,
that jumped out at me. And we'll retweet it from the Three Man Front Twitter account so that you can see it if you didn't see it. They take anime and they run through their entire schedule, and when they came to the Jacksonville Jags, they basically took that picture of Urban Meyer when he when he was at the bar in Ohio,
yes,
and they put the Jag logo on the face of Urban Meyer. And then the other favorite for me,
Russell,
was when they did Russell. Well, no, Russell Wilson, that was good too, but it was Watson.
It was Deshaun Watson. They came to the Cleveland Browns. That was the next opponent. And then it's almost like a television station when they go to your technical difficulties. So it starts playing music and there's just a rainbow and it says, redacted under the advice of our lawyers for what they were going to put for the Browns and Deshaun Watson.
I actually thought the Falcons one was pretty good.
That was pretty good.
It shows a Falcon flying into a Waffle House sign. Into the W, so once that light goes out, it says Awful House, talking about the Falcons. So it was very well done. Whoever did their social media, major kudos.
Probably my two favorite. One, because I just love the way that he chides at them. The Dallas Cowboys one was really good because it started off with Stephen A. Smith, basically making fun of Cowboys and their fans, and then they're like, "Oh, hey, good, we're done." And you see Jerry Jones like editing it, and then you realize they hack him saying all these things to make it look like he says that they're going to win it all.
Yeah.
And the other one, I'm surprised Landrum didn't enjoy this one, or maybe not. He didn't see it because he's not a fan of their team anymore, even though he was. Carolina Panthers. Basically, there was straight out of like 1990s with the CD and logging on to AOL, playing "This Is How We Do It" the whole time. Really cool.
The Russell Wilson one, that was pretty good because, of course, Mile High, it caught on fire, and they have Russell Wilson with the him basically, it says "Let Russell cook," so basically they let him cook and he burned the stadium down.
Yeah,
but very creative on behalf of the Los Angeles Chargers. We are retweeting it out at the number Three Man Front so you can view it and enjoy it here around 11 o'clock. But as far as what we get, we're going to get a lot of Tom Brady. one would expect. A lot of that from the networks. And I did see was interesting. Speaking of Tom Brady, we know what he's reportedly been offered once he retires for the $375 million. And apparently, this coming out from Fox and sources close to Fox, that Troy Aikman, when he was very outspoken towards the end of his contract and willing to talk to anybody, this really irked the folks at Fox. And so that was probably one of the reasons why they said, you know what? You're not going to score on us, Troy, and talking financials. We're going to show you. And they basically offered Tom Brady. They just kept coming back with offers until he said yes. And that is where we got the $375 million total, Pat.
Well, you know what? His agents and Giselle, they're very, very happy with what they're able to get. He was going to make plenty of money anyway. His endorsements were going to continue, maybe not to the level that he does while he's playing, but him being able to go in the booth, I'm not really sure how good he's going to be. Of course, I questioned whether Tony Romo was going to be any good.
Right.
And Tony Romo got in there and surprised everybody. So I'm not really sure about Tom Brady. So we'll see. But Fox has got him on the hook now for the next 10 years.
At the number three man front on Twitter, you can always interact with us. D. Reynolds at Coach D24 says, at three man front, don't let Atlanta Roberts do trivia again. It's bringing us all bad luck. Hashtag Friday the 13th. Sorry, Coach. Yeah, I know. Dr. Necessary Evil says, Lucky Penny, Horseshoe, Evil Eye, Broken Clock. I'm going to be careful with that one. Banana on a boat, won't catch fish. Rabbit's foot, step on a crack, break your mama's back.
Now,
cross
I've never heard
fingers.
That one. Banana on a boat, you will not catch a fish.
I didn't know that either. Wishbone, and then he says, got to help Landrum out. Thank you, Dr. Necessary Evil. It's twice today. You've helped me out. Barrett Salee, CBSSports.com. We will talk everything going on in college football, the SEC, and other news around the sports world, and what's wrong with the Atlanta Braves. Barrett joins us next here on the Friday, the 13th edition of Three Man Front, Jocks 94.5.
This is Three Man Front on Jocks 94.5.
A lot goes into taking care of your property. You need equipment with more reliability and versatility built in, like Kubota BX and L-Series compact tractors, rated number one in durability and owner experience. Z-Series mowers that deliver a quality cut, and Sidekick utility vehicles where durability meets speed. Visit your local Kubota dealer for a demo today.
Green & Sons Farm and Lawn Equipment. On the web at greenandsons.com